Ryan Windhorst will join us in a moment. Tough to get a read on what's up with James Harden because I saw a report, there were multiple reports earlier this week, that he hates Brooklyn, like living in Brooklyn, and really isn't a big fan of Kyrie Irving. And now I think it was Woj that came out and said, no, he loves Brooklyn, it's all good. So what is up with James Harden? Yeah, where is he at? And he's still being linked to Daryl Morey and Philly, and I think Philly's lost all of their leverage when it comes to Ben Simmons. He's not going to play this year. He's out. You got a guy at that age with that kind of money on the line, and he's just not going to play for a year.
Dude,
which
that's
means
bizarre.
It is.
It's completely bizarre. Like, I don't see how he jumps back on the train. I think that train has left the station. I
well,
don't
they
see
said
Ben
back
Simmons
in training camp
again.
That they're not going to move him unless they get the deal they think is fair for what his value is. And the problem is, I have no idea what the hell his value would be right now.
I don't see how anyone possibly could. Last time we saw him, this guy was quite literally allergic of shooting the ball. Allergic
yes.
to shooting the ball in the fourth quarter. Last time we saw him play. Wouldn't shoot. Could not shoot. So you talk about a guy where he's got a max deal, athleticism through the roof, handles through the roof, defensive player of the year type of talent. But last time we saw Ben Simmons, he would not shoot. Not could not shoot, would not shoot.
I wouldn't take the chance Hayes of getting burned with that. I wouldn't do it.
Well, and that's why, you know, we bring on a guy like Brian Windhorst. Here is Brian from ESPN, NBA Insider. Do you have a read on Philly and their leverage and the value of Ben Simmons at this point, Brian?
I mean, you know, there's so much stuff has come out of Philadelphia in the last 5 months that it's very, very difficult for me to hear something and trust it because there's a lot of games being played and I'm obviously not on, you know, I'm not talking to them directly within their trade calls, but the reality is you want to get down to absolute brass tacks. They don't have a trade they like. They didn't have a trade they liked in June when he first asked. They didn't have one in August when he went public. They didn't have one in October when he didn't show up. They don't have a trade they like. They've looked at it a dozen different ways, you know, with probably each opportunity. They can't convince themselves to it. So to me, this comes down to whether or not either Joel Embiid or ownership, because I think those are the two people that could have the power to basically say, do something. And if neither of those sides say, we have to do something, I don't see how a trade all of a sudden is going to materialize that they like when they've waited for so long.
You just mentioned Embiid, and it wasn't too long ago, Brian, where people were talking about him not taking it seriously, his craft seriously, the diet, didn't know how to eat, who knows what he's going to turn into. But every day on Twitter, there's a timeline of Joel Embiid's last 10 or 15 games, and he's been dynamite. Has he kind of turned the corner and elevated himself into like this megastar now? He seems like he's certainly gotten it.
Well, he had an MVP-level season last year. He just had some injuries and couldn't play enough games. And Jokic played every game, and that made a big difference. But he was this last year. In fact, some of the statistics were higher last year than they were this year, if you can believe it. And, you know, when you look at the history of the Philadelphia franchise, you've had some amazing performances there. You've had Wilt Chamberlain. You've had Allen Iverson. You've had Charles Barkley. And the year he's had it is right up there. I mean, Wilt puts up numbers that are not comparable. So, you know, you got to wait for the era. But as good of a season as anybody in Philly has ever had, and they're in sixth place. And for a team that's paying the luxury tax, for a team that has been positioned to challenge, they were the number one seed in the East last year. For them to be sitting in sixth place getting this season from Joel Embiid is an extreme disappointment. We know why, but you want to cut it any way you want to cut it, it's an extreme disappointment.
With Brian Windhorst of ESPN, we had you on about a month and a half ago, and at that point it was, I think, accepted throughout the NBA. The two leading candidates for MVP at that point, you know, a quarter of the way through the season, it was Steph and KD. Since then, Steph, his game is, you know, his stats are not as, you know, off the charts as they were. Kevin Durant's dealing with injury. Feels like Embiid has now moved into a driver's seat, and I think Jokic should be right there with him, who's in the same spot in Denver. missing his go-to guard, who's out based on injury, not based on wanting to request a trade. But Denver's sitting there in the sixth seed, and everything you said about Embiid, I mean, screams at you the stats. I think Jokic has been as impressive, if not more, Brian. Like, Jokic, this dude's crazy.
Yeah. Two centers in an area where centers are supposedly devalued.
Right.
Playing on sixth place team. Completely cuts against the grain of what you typically would see in an MVP race. You know, I think there's only, the last few years we haven't played full seasons, so I don't think this stat quite holds, but like, for 25 years, there hadn't been a player on a team win the MVP that didn't have at least 50 wins. And maybe they'll both get there because their teams are, you know, I expect to get better as the season goes on. But it's a very unusual MVP race. And Steph is certainly still right there. He's struggled since Draymond went out. But he could certainly still rally back. But it is, you know, you didn't mention Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Right.
Giannis is having a spectacular season as well. And the Bucks are kind of just hanging around, but they're in, you know, I think they're two games out of first place in the East. So, I don't know how much team success is going to play into it. If Embiid, I think they're 2.5 back of first place. If Embiid keeps playing this way, the Sixers without Simmons or without Simmons trade somehow climb up to one of those top two seeds. In addition to his statistics, that would be very impressive. And if Jamal Murray comes back and the Nuggets can get up there and make a run at the end, that would also potentially help them.
Well, prior to having you on, what led us into that Ben Simmons conversation is we were talking actually about James Harden and the different reports coming out of Brooklyn as to whether or not he's happy or not or wants to leave at the end of the season. What's your understanding on his mindset in Brooklyn, James Harden?
Well, he turned down a $160 million extension at the start of the year. And at that time, obviously the owner and general manager, Joe Tsai and Sean Marks, wanted to know why. You know, because they were offering him a huge amount of money. And he told them at the time, from what I am told, this is not a commentary on Brooklyn. It's a commentary on me wanting more money because he can guarantee himself about $70 million extra if he lets his contract go out this year and then build a new one off of that. It's a straight financial decision. And, okay, they took him at his word for that. But then this year hasn't gone well. And repeatedly, James has said, he's expressed frustration at Kyrie Irving's situation. You know, he had a great game on their road trip to Texas last week, I think it was, and they asked James about it. And he said, that's why we need him every night. You know, he was talking this week about their inconsistency, and he said, you know, we have inconsistency and he's available. And certainly that means some of the guys who have injuries, but it also means Kyrie. And I mean, again, put yourself in his shoes. He forced his way there to play on the team with Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie's not playing half the game. He got the vaccine. I don't know if he wanted it or not, but he got it. And so I'm sure he's frustrated about it. Does that mean he doesn't want to be there long term? Does that mean he's going to leave an extra $70 million on the table? No. But the reason why people are looking at this is because Simmons doesn't have a home yet. And if the Sixers can't find a home for Ben Simmons after the trade deadline, and the Nets have a poor end to this season, which maybe they will, maybe they'll win the championship, people are starting to connect the dots. And I certainly understand why they're connecting the dots, but right now we're making a lot of suppositions.
With Brian Windhorst of ESPN, based on the history of Masai Ujiri, Bobby Webster, and the Raptors, Ben Simmons has been linked here before. They've clearly never committed to anything publicly, nor would you expect that they would. But their point guard position right now is very unique. Like, Fred VanVleet's been injured. He missed the last two games. But Fred's playing more minutes than anyone in the NBA, and he's having a spectacular season. And Goran Dragic is in Miami and not coming back. And then you got Delano Banton, who's actually been really good for him, especially recently, and Malachi Flynn, both young point guards who I don't think Nick Nurse wants to give a lot of minutes to. In terms of Simmons, the offseason, the Raptors, could you see a connection there based on the lack of depth or the youth at this position once you get past Fred VanVleet?
I don't think that the Raptors have what the Sixers are going to want.
Right.
I mean, short of including Barnes, which is an absolute non-starter, I think there's literally like seven or eight teams in that in that boat who have sort of borderline all-stars or sub-all-stars that they can offer, and Philly has held the line on what they want. They want a bona fide all-star. And, you know, Daryl Morey gave an interview last week in Philadelphia. It was one of the most amazing interviews I've ever heard, because to say it was all over the place is an understatement. But he said that, you know, the way Embiid is playing only puts more pressure on making sure that this Simmons trade is a home run. Because if they do sort of a squishy deal, they wouldn't be fair to Embiid. And, like, even though I know Daryl doesn't tell the truth on purpose a lot of times, I agree with that. I mean, I agree with him being picky on Ben Simmons. Now, we disagree on whether I think this has helped his value and whether he'll get it. But I agree for him trying to wait for something to happen that he can get a player. And so I just don't see the Raptors having what's necessary to do it.
Brian, do you know any details of what Draymond Green's getting up to with TNT, kind of his role or what his obligations or what he wants to do, what he's allowed to do, and how the ripple effect of his teammates, coaches?
Well, I mean, you know, at ESPN, we routinely have coaches and players who are still active come on to do shows, especially in the postseason. So, and Draymond's done that before with TNT. So I'm sure it won't be any different. You know, I know Draymond a little bit, and I know he's really smart. And he's really smart trying to lock down a lucrative post-career job. Like, Charles Barkley's made way more money sitting on that step than he did on the basketball court. And but I don't think Draymond will do anything that is going to cause any problems. He's a pretty smart guy.
Well, it's definitely unique in terms of what we've seen in the past. We'll see where it goes. Always great catching up with you. Thank you, Brian.
Enjoy your weekend.
There's Brian Windhorst of ESPN. Yeah, that came down earlier that Draymond Green has signed an exclusive deal with the NBA on TNT. So I wonder, actually, we should have asked him, like, does that mean ESPN can't interview Draymond Green? Like, will he go
the
on?
Rules.
I don't know. I mean, Draymond can control it. He's under no obligation to do an interview with any other network. But if ESPN calls him up and goes, you know, Scott Van Pelt wants to have you on after the game, is he going to say, absolutely not, I'm a TNT guy? I would assume if you're TNT, wouldn't you want that? Like, exclusivity?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That's
I don't know how that's
spicy meatball right there.
Yeah, it is, for sure. Like, in the NBA Finals, that's an ESPN ABC entity.
Platform, yeah.
And if Golden State's in the NBA Finals, I would think Draymond's probably going to be featured in that.